This morning, we arrive at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, just the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He's baptized, goes into the wilderness. Mark always moves us very quickly, calls four of the disciples, and then goes to worship in the town of Capernaum. 21st verse. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent." You know, actually, a better translation is "shut up." "Shut up and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And may God bless this reading and hearing of this holy word. Many years ago, the son of noted preacher William Sloan Coffin, Jr. was tragically killed in an automobile accident when his car plunged into Boston Harbor. Soon after, Coffin preached about the death of his son, a sermon that over the years has been quoted often by many preachers, including this one. Here is some of what he had to say. When a person dies, there are many things that can be said, and at least one thing that should never be said. The night after Alex died, a woman came by carrying quiches. She shook her head sadly, saying, "I just don't understand the will of God at all." Instantly, I swarmed all over her. "No, you don't. Do you think it was the will of God that Alex never fixed that lousy windshield wiper? Or that he was driving much too fast in a storm? Do you think it is God's will that there are no street lights along that stretch of the road? No guardrail separating the road from Boston Harbor?" He concludes, "Nothing so infuriates me as the incapacity of intelligent people to get it through their heads that God doesn't go around with his finger on triggers, his fist around knives, his hands on steering wheels. God is dead set against all unnatural deaths. The one thing that should never be said when someone dies is, it's the will of God. My own consolation lies in knowing it was not the will of God that Alex die, that when the waves closed over his sinking car, God's heart was the first of all of our hearts to break." It was a wild morning that in the synagogue in Capernaum on that Sabbath. I suspect many of those in worship had come, much as we do here, to looking for a little peace and quiet after a busy week, a time of centering and serenity. Then Jesus shows up, and look what happens. The service has just begun, and a deeply disturbed man suddenly cries out. Then the demon that torments him begins screaming at Jesus. I always find it interesting. It's fascinating that nobody seems to know who Jesus really is except the demons. They always recognize him. Well, in response, Jesus tells the demon literally to shut up and come out of the man. And says, "Mark, The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. You ever wonder what happens next? Did the rabbi come up and say, any more prayer concerns today? Did he remind people about the potluck after church? Hard to imagine how worship could have continued after such a violent interruption. And what does this text tell us? Right here in the beginning of his ministry, what does it tell us about Jesus, about God? Well, clearly, Jesus does not hold back. Sabbath or no Sabbath, he reaches out and heals the suffering man. In the synagogue, in a private home, on a street, he does not hesitate to confront evil and pain. Says former Methodist Bishop William Willimon, in this and similar texts, Jesus shows that his mission is more than preaching and teaching. It is also ministering human need, even when that need is nothing less than demonic in its source. Strange evil powers seek to engulf God's good creation. Yet God does not just sit back and let those powers have their way. God shows up in Jesus Christ, who rebukes these demons, literally scaring the hell out of them when they recognize that they have come head to head with one more powerful than they. Now, this morning, I don't want to get into a discussion about whether or not people are literally possessed by demons, although clearly some demonic force has kept Green Bay out of today's big game. The devil made me say that. Rather, I believe that in this text, Jesus, rather than debating the existence of demons, Jesus makes it clear that evil, suffering, and pain in our world and in our lives are not God's intention. And so he seeks to confront and overcome evil wherever and whenever he might find it. Now, that sounds good, but do we really believe that? Can we trust that it's true? Again, we do not have to believe in literal demons to know how often human life, our lives, are plagued by suffering and evil. I think of the tragic story of the woman who was killed on the street in Santa Rosa. Just standing there, two cars collide, and one goes up on the sidewalk and kills her. Wrong place, wrong time. I don't know if you saw the story about her in the paper, but clearly she was someone plagued by her own demons. And she seems to have spent so much of her life being afraid and had done everything she could to protect herself from the world, from danger, from harm. And yet, as the account in the paper said, tragedy found her anyway. And not just her. I think of William Sloan Coffin, a man of deep faith, one of the most famous preachers of the 20th century. None of that gave him and his family immunity from suffering and pain. I once heard it said that human suffering threatens all our networks of meaning. And I've seen that in my own family. I stood by and watched my mother just gradually fade away following the death of my sister. There was nothing we could do. Life lost all meaning for her. In the words of preacher, teacher Barbara Brown Taylor, our mind-boggling technology and national wealth have allowed us to relieve so much suffering that we've begun to believe it should not exist at all. And to help us feel safe from any possibility of suffering, we conform to an unwritten code. Live in the right neighborhood, eat the right food, be a good person, and tragedy like a tornado will skip right over you. It's an illusion, of course. We know how to relieve suffering. We know how to evade it. What is hard for us is to confront it with no power to make it go away. She continues, for all of its prominence in the Christian story, suffering is a great killer of faith. Longtime believers crash into their first wall of life-threatening illness, and all the light goes out of their eyes. She says she once believed in a loving God, but does not anymore. God is fired for failure to act. And again, we have seen this. So many of us have lived it. But then I find myself returning to the words of Bill Coffin. My own consolation lies in knowing that it was not the will of God that Alex die. That when the waves closed over that sinking car, God's heart was the first of all of our hearts to break. You find any comfort in those words, any consolation, any hope? I know I do. In that sermon, it really sounds like Coffin, in confronting his own pain, has broken through everything he thought he knew about himself, about life, about God, and has been delivered to a new threshold of being, of understanding. God is love, we say. But God did not create us as puppets. God gives us a wide berth to act freely on this earth, even when we stumble. We have some degree of choice and free will. And for better or worse, we are also finite, mortal creatures. We get hurt. We suffer losses. We weep. Our hearts break. To love is to risk pain and loss. That's just part of the deal. Sometimes the world is a hard place for us. But the same God who created us doesn't stop loving us when things get tough. And so, to say that God loves us is to claim that such love is also very risky for God, who must weep over our losses because they are God's losses as well. Again, in Christ, we meet a God who confronts evil straight on, not turning away from human suffering and pain, but entering ever deeper into it and bearing it as God's very own. As I once heard, there is always a cross in the heart of God. Michael Linville, a Presbyterian minister, shares this story. Some years ago, I was moving furniture with a good friend, a junior high school shop teacher named John. The furniture was coming out of the apartment of a widow, Helen, who was a mutual friend. She had made the wrenching decision that it was time to move into a nursing home. It was an unhappy moving day, emptying rooms full of memories into John's truck. Each trip from the apartment to the curb seemed to set the two of us thinking about deeper things. We were about to carry out the headboard of the old mahogany bedstead when John suddenly stopped and, with a few carefully chosen words, spoke about the death of an infant child, his infant child, years ago. I knew about it, but we had never spoken about it. He was silent for a moment. Then he set his end down and looked at me, nodded toward heaven and said, "You know, he's been there. That's all there is to say. Through all of it, God has been there." Bad stuff happens. We ask, "Where's God?" And behind the question is the horrible thought that maybe this is all in vain, that maybe wherever God may be, if there is a God, it is far removed from us, from here, in the muck and mire of daily life. But again, that's why I just find Coffin's sermon so helpful. Where was God when his son Alex died? Where was God when my sister died? Where was God when she was born? Where was God when she graduated from law school and decided to dedicate her life to helping those in need? Where was God when she got married and gave birth to her two beautiful daughters? Where? Always right there. With her in love. Until the very end. And I believe with her still. Where is God? Right here. Right here. God may not provide easy answers for our endless, painful human questions, but God does provide God's very self unceasingly. Says Williman, today's gospel reminds us that God does more than simply care. God does more than merely stand beside us in the darkness of our despair. God powerfully reaches out to us, rebukes the demonic evil that has thrown us into this horrible situation, and thereby lifts us up. And sometimes God lifts us up by providing us with good friends who also show up, speak a word of compassion to us, remember us in their daily prayers, and thereby lift us up. This, too, is God's love. My brothers and sisters in Christ, no way can I stand here today and explain human pain, its whys and its wherefores. And I certainly am not going to tell you that it can easily be put aside with little effort. All I can do is share my faith and give my witness. With God, there is always hope. God does bring order out of chaos, beauty out of ugliness, new beginnings out of despair, life out of death. And God does this by journeying alongside us, going into the thick of life with us, and never, never leaving us alone. God does not cause suffering. God bears suffering. God risks a broken heart. And God will do this until that day when God's victory is complete, when every tear shall be wiped away, and God gets what God wants for us. Always God's beloved children.